We need the United States economy to grow at over 2%. We need the U.S. economy to grow at 3%, especially with the growing deficits the federal government has. And so much of this money, not just the project, is going to be coming from the private sector, from savings accounts, from pension accounts, from insurance companies, and on and on and on.
That's right. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink just urged everyday citizens to think about growing with the United States, framing the plunder of retirement nest eggs as some kind of patriotic duty. Fink didn't mince words about the scale of the heist. The U.S. economy must accelerate from a sluggish 2% growth to a robust 3% just to handle ballooning federal deficits, and that money is going to be coming from the private sector, savings accounts, from pension accounts, and insurance companies. He painted a picture of exploding demand for electrons powering these data behemoths.
But as the governor was talking about, the need for electrons is growing every day. You know, if we're going to be the leader in technology, which we are, if we are going to be the leader in AI, which we presently are, it's just going to require trillions of dollars of investments. And if we don't invest in it, China will be the global leader in this.
Translation, your 401ks and IRAs aren't safe havens anymore. They're the piggy bank for BlackRock's vision of an AI-dominated future where trillions get redirected into projects that conveniently align with the asset manager's own massive holdings in data centers and energy infrastructure.
Residents were told today that actually we're not going to provide you electricity anymore. The Nevada-based power company that is providing electricity to the residents of Lake Tahoe informed them today that, sorry, all the electricity we make, every watt of power that we generate is going to have to go to a nearby data center, and therefore you have until the end of next year to find a new source of electricity, and after that, we can't help you.
Thanks to the data center overlords, 49,000 residents, mostly on the California side of Lake Tahoe, are about to lose access to 75% of their electricity supply after May of 2027. Liberty Utilities is killing off 75% of the energy provided by NV Energy because NV Energy says it needs every megawatt for its own unprecedented data center growth. A massive international American tourist mecca packed with ski resorts, casinos, and 28 million visitors is getting squeezed by Google, Apple, Microsoft, and BlackRock. This is why we can't have nice things. Data centers already guzzled 22% of Nevada's electricity in 2024 alone and are cranking up to hit 35% by 2030 and a staggering 5,900 megawatts of demand by 2033. That's 2.8 times the entire output of the Hoover Dam.
We don't need another data center. You don't know what the health impact is. You got them all crunched together. You're going to have a mass exodus. You're going to ruin this community. You're going to ruin it. Ruin it if you let this continue.
Are you a member of a community where you've learned a data center is being proposed in your county? Have you decided to join your community in learning more about how this will impact farmland, the environment, your quality of life from the constant humming, noise, and light pollution? Are you concerned that your water may be drained by the data center or contaminated as we're seeing across the country? Well, you just might be a terrorist of some sort. According to 1,000 pages of unpublished reports from the Department of Homeland Security, FBI, and fusion centers, as reported by Wired.
The data center scam exposes the raw cynicism of the financial overlords at BlackRock, who manage trillions in ordinary Americans' hard-earned retirement funds while positioning themselves to profit handsomely from the very boom they're engineering at our expense. Fink's pitch isn't about national strength. It's a veiled demand to raid pensions for private gain, all while ordinary families foot the bill for skyrocketing energy costs, potential blackouts, and an unaccountable surveillance state.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
Raymond Schmidt is a seven-time best-selling investigative author, a former co-director of the Center of UFO Studies, where he's also served as the director of special investigations for 10 years. Presently, he is a lead investigator for the International UFO Museum Research Center in Roswell, New Mexico. He previously worked on as a special investigator for the legendary Dr. J. Allen Hynek. He was the astronomer and scientific consultant to the UFO Air Force's Project Blue Book. Welcome to the broadcast, Donald Schmidt. How are you doing today? And boy, it's an interesting day when we can talk about UFO news in the mainstream media.
And isn't it ironic that I just got back from Roswell early this morning? And you would think that I'd be a little burned out with all this current attention and discussion. But I'm so amused that especially the mainstream media is demonstrating their naivety on the subject in spades, because they think that the government is rolling over and that the Pentagon is finally, after almost 80 years of deceit and cover-up, they're going to finally fess up and out of guilt or shame, I don't know, that they're just going to reveal all. As far as with the hope that maybe now we'll just go away. We'll leave them alone for the next 80 years.
Well, never mind that McCaslin and many other scientists have gone missing. You know, never mind that. That's not important. What's important is we got disclosure now. Never mind that the people that were probably responsible for hiding the secrets have disappeared. Where have they gone? Where are they? Does anyone know?
But Chris, I'm a little cautious even about that. I did an interview over a month ago with CNN magazine, and they wanted me to go full-blown conspiracy on McCaslin, and I wouldn't do it. I said, because I pointed out, well, who's publicizing this? Who's putting this out there? Either as, okay, here's an example. If you don't want to be next, you know, you better keep your mouth shut. You better behave. Or, you know, it still comes back to the old saying, those who know don't talk. And those who don't know, they talk. So how much of this, again, is orchestrated? How much of this, again, is just propaganda? Again, essentially steering, you know, the herd, trying to get us, you know, well, don't look behind the curtain, or, you know, don't watch this hand while I'm doing something with this hand, that type of thing. And isn't it a shame that we're to this point that we just don't trust the government on most anything any longer?
Well, we don't know what is true. I mean, I asked the same question, and I like the way you take the objectivity that you take on the subject, because I remember reading the Podesta leaks where Tom DeLong is talking to Podesta, and he's like, oh, yeah, McCaslin said, yeah, we got the Roswell crash, but is that what he wanted Tom DeLong to think? Did he actually want him to believe that, or is there really a crash? And you're the expert on this subject. I don't know if there's anyone that is more researched than you are on this subject. I would say if there was a person that is the most researched, that investigated, and dedicated their life to the subject of Roswell. That is you, Don. And I got to ask you.
Thank you, Chris.
So let's talk about this. What is going on here? What is Roswell? Why is it important? And where are we at today with this whole UFO disclosure? What is it that we're what the government is trying to pass off as reality versus, you know, what might be just a cover up for government special aircraft?
Well, first of all, thank you for giving me this opportunity, because it's something, and it's not sour grapes as much as I'm quick to point out, not only that I was a skeptic on Roswell when we first made that trip down to the land of enchantment with the thought that we would be able to demonstrate it was nothing more than a balloon device, as the government still maintains. I wasn't ahead of the game with the claim that we were dealing with also anthropomorphic wooden crash dummies to account for the descriptions of the non-human bodies by the eyewitnesses. But that when we were working with the late Congressman Stephen Schiff of New Mexico, representing a good number of his own constituents, so he was way before Tim Burchett and Luna and Grothman and all the others, Burleson, you know, crying out as far as public hearings on the subject. And he was a lone wolf. Very few were giving him the time of day. He was running into just continuous brick walls, not only at the White House, but all the branches of the military and all the departments of intelligence, that type of thing. And he would often point out the fact that in as much as we had legitimate whistleblowers at that time, we had no less than 150 firsthand witnesses who were involved with the Roswell incident, who either had handled that wreckage at the time of the crash or were involved as far as with the non-human bodies. And as a result, we thought we had a tremendous case that we could have presented, especially with all of these eyewitnesses, some of them, some of the most high-ranking officers in the military, and that they could testify under oath that they handled wreckage that was not from this earth. And we failed because we could not only enlist other people in Washington, but we couldn't enlist the media. We couldn't get anyone to step forward and say, Roswell needs to have its day in court. And I find this more than coincidence that after the very last of the first 10 Roswell witnesses pass away, now we're having hearings. And now we're having non-whistleblowers that are testifying, well, I heard this or I was told this. I'm sorry, in my book, you are not a whistleblower because you can't prove anything. You didn't see anything. You only heard. You were only told. And so to me, it's so much song and dance. And I'm sorry in that I'm not trying to throw cold water on the situation, but we had a golden opportunity in the past 20 years, and they ignored us. They had no interest in revealing as far as any truth to the subject.
Well, they wanted to control the narrative, and that's why they're looking at it now, is because we can't go and confirm this. But what we do know, and I learned this from you, is that the government went and threatened a bunch of people that claimed to have seen something in Roswell, didn't they? But I think it's just interesting. Why would the government, you know, bribe and threaten individuals if it was just a weather balloon?
Precisely. Down to children. Can you imagine that they were sequestering parents in the one room and children in another? And the parents would be told that we will kill your children if you continue talking about this in public, if you continue discussing this as far as to the true reality of what had happened, this crash of this craft of unknown origin north of Roswell at that time. And lest we keep in mind, United States Army Air Corps at that time, the Roswell Army Airfield, it was the very first atomic bomb squadron in the world. They were the elite within the military at that time, where they hand-selected the best officers, best pilots, crew, doctors, nurses, all stationed at Roswell at that time. And they put out that press release on Tuesday, July 8th of 1947. that they had actually captured a flying saucer. And the point being, Chris, they started it. They're the ones who made that pronouncement, that claim. The witnesses didn't, and we certainly didn't. And yet now they try to put that genie back in the box, and, well, 5 hours later, it's just a weather balloon with common, you know, components that even a five-year-old child would recognize. And these, you know, basically incompetent, you know, military people at the Ross Armor Airfield who were in charge of the atomic bomb, but they couldn't recognize rubber and foil and wooden sticks and string and tape. And I love this, Chris. Here's the picture of Major Jesse Marcel, who was the lead intelligence officer in the United States military at that time. And he's pictured with the substituted weather balloon. He was ordered to pose by General Roger Ramey, who was the boss of his commanding officer, Colonel William Blanchard at Roswell. And he was ordered to pose for two pictures. And it's clearly the substituted weather balloon. It's just flimsy foil, sticks, rubber, you know, tape, and string. And the fact that the media continues to present this as the actual witness. It doesn't matter that we have signed affidavits from the people who were at that press conference that it was substituted, that they were the ones who switched it, that the balloon was a hoax. It doesn't matter. Because, again, it all comes down to a preconceived belief in what they want it to be, juxtaposed to what it actually was.
Well, let's talk about this for a moment, because then the government brought out their little fake UFO that they tried to fly around, and they're like, oh, look, see, this is what it was. And then there was a whole nother UFO crash that happened in the Roswell area, if I remember correct from my research. Can you speak on that a little bit as well?
Well, you're talking about Aztec in 1948.
Right.
And the one problem I do have with Aztec, like so many of the other subsequent experiences, is that they don't have the firsthand witnesses. As I had mentioned earlier, that we had up to 150 firsthand at Roswell. And then we have that press release. And then you have the first atomic bomb squadron who were directly involved. And then you have all the press accounts all the way to the Pentagon in Washington describing how the wreckage from Roswell was being transported to Wright Field in Dayton, Ohio for testing and analysis. Now, why would we need to test a very common weather balloon device to see essentially what makes it fly, so to speak? And that's the difference that sets Roswell apart from all the others. The fact that you have that press release, you have all the first-hand witnesses, and those witnesses swore affidavits, video depositions, even up to their deathbed confessions. This is one of the recently released documents of this, depositing as far as all this new material as far as to the public and acting as though it's anything new. That's an FBI telex describing the Roswell weather balloon. It describes exactly the second, you know, explanation to what the Roswell Army Airfield had recovered, you know, just that day before. And if you are to read all the way through that FBI telex from the Dallas office, I believe it was at 6:17 that evening. So it was after the weather balloon press conference in General Ramey's office at Carswell Army Airfield in Dallas. And the FBI refutes the balloon explanation. They actually state in that document that based on their telephone conversations between their Dallas FBI office and Wright Field in Dayton, Ohio, where the material is all destined, where the material is all going, that's not what they've been discussing. They claim that it was something else altogether, that it wasn't a balloon. It was something that, you know, needed testing and analysis, beyond just a cursory examination in General Ramey's office. So Ramey had even canceled the continuation of the transport of that wreckage. And yet here the FBI is saying, no, it's going on the right field for testing. So that particular document we have had since 1985. And now to claim that it's something new, and for the press to, you know, react as though this dumping of these new supposed documents is anything fantastic. And I look at them, I go, this is all material we've had before. This is all the same old, same old. There's nothing new about this, nothing extraordinary. And again, I'm sadly not impressed.
Well, we're just acknowledging things like that you and other people have exposed, and now they're going to say, okay, well, we discovered it because it's been released. Never mind that Don Schmidt and other researchers before him have come forward and mentioned this. We're not going to give them credit. The mainstream needs the credit. The government needs the credit. In the meantime, you were just tinfoil hat whack jobs, and now they want to say that, oh, by the way, we're going to take credit for all your hard work. It's interesting to me that they're mentioning four different species, because I read that William Cooper used to talk about that. He has an indictment of MJ-12, where he talks about the four, one of them being a human race, one of them being a gray race, one of them being a praying mantis race, and one of them being a reptilian race. And, the government, there's documents that says the government is worried that, oh, they could infiltrate our government because they look like humans. They're a Nordic race. And, you know, I don't know what's true or not. All I know is our government lies to us. And you've done the research, and we've come across the idea that something happened at Roswell, and we were being lied to about what happened. And, you know, was it extraterrestrial, or was it something that our government was working on for their own, military? What's your opinion that a lot of these UFO sightings are just government aircraft or experimental government aircraft?
Well, what was wonderful about 1947, at the time of the Roswell incident, both rocket and jet propulsion were in their infancy, as well as radar. And there were no satellites, and there certainly were no drones or anything of that sort. So the skies were actually quite virgin, rather pristine. And so there were few alternative explanations. And as a result, Roswell, stands so firmly, not only based on all the eyewitness descriptions of the very nature of the wreckage and the fact that it was nearly indestructible, as they described it. Engineers at the base at Roswell, for example, describe how they took a 16-pound sledgehammer. And I always joke with people that they should go to a Home Depot hardware store and even pick up a 16-pound hammer. And, it would go through your car like tissue paper. And yet, the engineers described that no matter how hard or how often they would strike this wreckage, it wouldn't even scratch. And then you had what appeared to be fiber optics, and then what we refer to, still as our holy grail, this memory material that you could fold it, you could crease it, you could crumble it to a ball, and each and every time you would place it down, it would unravel, it would unfurl, it would practically flow like water as it would assume its original shape and size right before your eyes. And this clearly was something way beyond our technology at that time. And yet, it didn't matter if it was the highest ranking officer or if it was a child back at that time who had an opportunity to hold in their very hands, that material. Their descriptions are identical. There's no variation whatsoever. And today, by today's standards, it's almost like the downtown L.A. as far as the sky is just full of traffic. And as a result, when I hear of anything today, it's a yawner, because there are so many conventional possibilities. That was not the case with Roswell. And we, made it a point that through the course of our own investigation, we looked at every alternative explanation at that time, an errant German V2 rocket, and whether this had anything to do with Nazi Germany, whether it had anything to do with the Soviet Union at that time, whether it was our own technology. And Chris, I have to always point out that for those of us who have been out to that high desert, that open plain where all of this wreckage rained down and covered an area of almost a mile long based on all the eyewitness testimony. The fact that I have flown over the area in small planes and helicopters, on numerous occasions. And one thing becomes quite evident early, you know, as you ascend over the area. You can see for 50 miles that it is just unobscured within, you know, that, you know, entire radius, you know, of distance. And so as a result, if we were missing anything, if we were, you know, waiting to hear witnesses inform us as to the location of something we were testing and something that we were testing nonetheless over the 4th of July weekend at that time, when most base personnel would have been home on leave with their families. And the point being, Chris, nothing was being tested. Nothing was reported, you know, missing. We weren't looking for anything. We weren't searching for anything. We were not conducting any aerial reconnaissance to find anything. And the point being, if it wasn't ours, then whose was it?
Well, that's just the question. We can't really speculate because of the advancement of the technology in the era. And that's one of the things that really sent me down the rabbit hole of searching in the Library of Congress of UFO sightings prior to the 1940s. Because even back in the late 1800s, there were newspaper reports of dancing stars in the sky that would come down to the trees and light up the trees. And that cowboys on horses would walk back pale face. They'd be scared. And these are like, could they be fake stories in a newspaper? I mean, we've got fake news now, but there's like a lot of witnesses that were reported and it made the news and it was very interesting. So it isn't something that just started in the 1940s, these sightings and these interesting anomalies, and there is definitely a cover up there. And the question is why? And it's because the government doesn't want us to know the truth, or they don't feel like we can handle the truth, or they don't want our enemies to have it. But now they seem to be okay with letting us all know about what happened about 100 years ago, we'll say 70 years ago, right? 70, 75 right. years ago. And they want to take credit for it. But I think it's very interesting nonetheless, because people don't understand the significance of Roswell. There was a lot of investigation that, you know, went into it. I could tell by the fact that when I read you had a book that you put out, and I read it, and it talked about them threatening people, offering bribes, amongst other things. You don't bribe people. You don't threaten people if it's a weather balloon. And then, you know, at some point that this wreckage got moved allegedly to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, right? Is that correct? Or at least that's the urban legend?
It did for a fact, because then we it was practically like chapter two, so to speak. In other words, you know, tracing the trail of the evidence. And then we tracked down the former base commander at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, General Arthur Exon, and Colonel Robert Friend, who was the second last director at Project Blue Book, which you had mentioned at the beginning of the segment, Chris. And he had been stationed at Wright Field when the material came in. So we started to interview the eyewitnesses who were on the receiving end, who were involved in the actual analysis and the testing. And General Exon, for example, he was working as far as with Foreign Technology Division. And
Donald Schmidt, hold that thought. We're coming to commercial break. We'll be back. Donald Schmidt is our guest expert on UFO disclosure and Roswell. Make sure that you guys check out his website and dive in. Drop some comments in the chat. Let us know what you think about the whole Roswell incident and the new UFO disclosure. Why now? Why are they taking credit for it? And is it real or is it not? When we come back, maybe we'll get some answers with Donald Schmidt.
So excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith, after that, we're going to bring more shows on. But we need your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 Trifecta Iodine, at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products, so it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directive.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot. Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network. And you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The War Room. I'm your host, Krysan T. Harris, filling in for Harrison Smith. Make sure you guys check me out, Krysan T. Harris on X.com. You can find me on The Rundown Live on all the platforms, Spotify, iHeartRadio, The Rundown Live. I'm airing live on Ground Zero Plus as well, weekdays, 5 days a week from noon to 2 o'clock Central Standard Time. And today's guest is Donald Schmidt, expert in Roswell and UFO disclosure. And he has a lot of the same questions I do. Why now? Why are they giving us disclosure? Why are these people disappearing? And a lot of people want to say, oh, it's alien, and everyone wants to pretend like we know, and the mainstream media wants to control the narrative. But at the end of the day, they don't. Like, you know, after 80 years, they had Roswell, they swept it under the rug, but now it's okay for you to have the data. Everyone's dead. You can't, you know, check your balances. You can't talk to anyone, but, you know, we're supposed to believe whatever the official narrative is. And just like Donald here, I think it smells. It doesn't sound right to me. And people keep pushing to, you know, Project Bluebeam, amongst other things. They have different ideas of which way the government is going. And I don't deny that there's a facet of social
engineering because we've been programmed for a long time. Ancient aliens, encounters of the third kind, ET. And I got to say, there's many different types of UFOs. Everyone wants to think they're saucers, but I was listening to Alex Jones just a couple of days ago when I was on my way to Grand Rapids, and he was talking about him seeing a UFO. And I'm like, I've heard of this type of UFO. They're like glowing orbs that are triangular. They're symmetrical, and then they all come together, and then they just disappear. There's tic-tac UFOs. There's these Flight of the Navigator looking UFOs. There's orbs and metal ball UFOs. But the thing is what are they? Are they government secret aircraft and we're trying to claim that they're UFOs so this way our enemies don't know that we have them? But for some reason now, they're they want to have disclosure. And I don't know how much of that has to do with the Epstein files. I'm going to say that part of me wants to believe that they're like, everyone's digging in these 3 million Epstein files. Barack Obama almost all of a sudden is like, yep, oh, by the way, there's aliens. In Wisconsin, we say, oh, there's aliens. And then Donald Trump's like, yeah, you know, even though you guys tried to put me in jail for, you know, having top secret documents, I'm going to let Barack Obama go on this one, and we're going to declassify alien stuff. And essentially, oh, and we're going to go to war with Iran. So in the meantime, here's these UFO disclosure documents. And yeah, you were probably somewhat right about the Roswell crash. Pretty fair diagnosis, right, Donald?
Thing too, Chris, is that they are not backing off of their now four official explanations regarding Roswell. The fact that we have to date interviewed over 600 witnesses who were either directly or indirectly involved with the incident back in 1947. And then when they came out with the weather balloon explanation, 5 hours after they had actually claimed they had recovered an actual flying saucer. And then in 1994, because of Congressman Stephen Schiff and the pressure we were putting on the Washington for having hearings on Roswell, it was Colonel Richard Weaver had a press conference at the Pentagon, and they admitted they lied about the balloon explanation, and they presented what they call their new theory. And that was Project Mogul, which was a Russian spy balloon project with the thought that a high altitude balloon with a sonoboy with an acoustic listening device that should the Soviet Union detonate their own first atomic bomb, we would pick up the shockwave in the upper atmosphere. Well, the Soviets wouldn't detonate their own bomb for four years after we did at Trinity site in New Mexico. But nonetheless, Project Mogul failed miserably. It was due to increased levels of radiation in Eastern Europe that we finally concluded, well, they finally did it. So Mogul had nothing to do with it. But the point is, Chris, Mogul was the same balloon components as the original one that they trotted out to explain away Roswell. So there was nothing unusual about it, nothing different about it. And so there again, it did not explain away what all those eyewitnesses, right up to their deathbeds, were claiming was something not made here on planet Earth. And then to address the entire body, you know, as far as situation of eyewitnesses that we were presenting, 3 years later, they had another press conference at the Pentagon, and they trotted out the anthropomorphic wooden crash dummies, these 6-foot-tall, plastic, metal-hinged, as far as parachuted, harnessed, crash dummies that they were dropping from high altitude to test breathing equipment, oxygen equipment. It was called Project High Dive and Project Excelsior. And the problem with that explanation was the project didn't originate until 5 years after Roswell. So now we have the government creating time travel. And so, I mean, it basically comes down to stalling for time, running out the clock, that as long as there were firsthand witnesses to Roswell and specifically describing something of an unearthly origin, that they had to do all they could to keep the press and the general public off of their backs, demanding to either fess up. How can all these eyewitnesses be lying? How can they all be wrong, given that they were in charge of the atomic bomb back in 1947? How could they be so mistaken and still appear as though they were being transparent, as though they were coming clean, that they were disclosing information, supporting an official explanation? But it's basically known as kill a bigger story by giving out a little smoke. And I feel that's all they're doing right now, that there's a bigger story behind all this, whether it has anything to do with UFOs. And I guess that's where I stand. Why now? As we both have been asking, what has precipitated this? All of a sudden, we need to have disclosure. Why now?
Well, what do you think is the main reason that the U.S. government maintained the Roswell cover-up for almost 80 years now? There has to be motivation, and obviously their motivation has changed for their kind of, quote, full disclosure, end quote. But what does this all look like to you? What's your whole synopsis? What do you think is really happening?
Well, just imagine back at that time. Now, it's merely 9 years after the Orson Welles War of the Worlds broadcast.
That's right.
So that's still fresh in their memories. I mean, and they don't know if this is a vanguard of an approaching invasion, and they have wreckage, and they have bodies, and they have no answers. And if it's truly an advanced technology, and if you can't bridge that technology, whether it's alien, whether it's something from another dimension, whether it's something from a parallel universe, whether it's something even spiritual, supernatural, that type of thing. How do you find the on button? How do you plug it in, so to speak? And I think it's as simple as this, Chris. And my dear friend, the late screenwriter Tracy Torme, he was the son of the famous singer and composer Mel Torme. And Tracy would use the analogy, if you could take something as simple as a toaster oven and you could teleport it back in the time, say back to the Middle Ages, and they might be able to put it together. I mean, they may be able to take it apart, put it together again. But if you can't plug it in, you can't get it to work. So it's way beyond your comprehension. So this thought that, like Will Smith in Independence Day, that he's able to jump into the cockpit of that alien craft and he's able to fly it like he's done it 100 times before. I'm sorry. I'm of the position that it's still a cover-up of ignorance, that they still have no answers. They still do not know from where, they don't know from why, and they don't know who. And as a result, they truly have nothing to disclose. And as a result, all they're doing once again is stalling. Stalling for their own ignorance, their own incompetence, and the idea that they may be just as much in the dark as we are.
Well, at the end of the day, what can they do with it if they don't know how to use it? And I guess dissect it. Some people claim that's where we got CD technology from, and that they've been able to back and reverse engineer these things.
Right.
Yeah, and then you hear now the new woo thing is that you use your consciousness to fly it. You don't even need any kind of controls. You go in there and you touch the spacecraft and you think about where you're going to go and the spacecraft flies. I don't know about any of that. It's a bunch of weird hogwash. And there's been a lot of weird.
Not necessarily, Chris. That part that you just described. He was a flight engineer with the 393rd. Bomb squadron. So he's not just a flight mechanic. He was an engineer. And that's Sergeant Robert Ennis. He was a reluctant witness for me for years. And as he was approaching the end, he finally started to open up. And I will never forget, he puts his hand on my shoulder. And these were the guys that worked on the B-29 bombers, the silver plates. And they could take them apart down to the last rivet and put them back together again. And so He says to me, "Don, before I go, you got to find out how that damn thing flew. It didn't have a moving part on it." So in other words, what? It didn't have an engine. It didn't have any controls. It didn't have any buttons. It didn't have any switches. What? He says, no parts, nothing moving. So then you start thinking, was it thought projection? That you sit down into the cockpit of the ship and your mind basically tells it what to do. And that's what he was suggesting. And again, he was there. He saw it firsthand. So given his description, I have to at least accept that's a possibility.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I've heard some of the some of those things too, and I've read a lot of different documents on it. And you start to wonder, well, what's possible, what's not? And I know you mentioned time travel, and I remember the miraculous story of Stephen Gibbs, who had created the hyperdimensional resonator, and it was a similar idea where you had a use magnetic coils to astral project, and allegedly that ties into MK Ultra and Montauk and all these other very interesting things. And our government had obsession with using your thoughts, remote viewing, drug use in MK Ultra. But I wonder how much of that might have stemmed from their actual interest in wanting to find somebody that could fly a UFO aircraft. You know, at the end of the day, if that's how it works, you know.
Well, we consider just how much Nazi Germany and specifically Adolf Hitler was into the occult.
Well, and yeah, the Rose Society.
And whether it was the Ark of the Covenant, and even supposedly their block as far as the bell, that they were already experimenting with anti-gravity. And in going through the late Colonel Howard McCoy's files, and he worked under General Curtis LeMay at research and development in Washington at within a few years after Roswell, and to find that as early as the late 1940s, they were already experimenting with ESP, that they were already looking into psychic phenomena. So what was the impetus? And I'm not saying it was Roswell, I'm not saying it was UFOs, but they were open-minded to, I mean, they were willing to, you know, essentially stretch the envelope as to anything was possible. But what provided them with that fodder? The idea that, well, we think we're the highest level of technology and intelligence within our own, you know, sphere of existence. But what if there was something else? And is it automatically extraterrestrial? It doesn't have to be. It could just be something that, and I'm willing to accept, it could be something that exists right around us. It's just from another dimension, and it's able to slip in and out at will, and it becomes just as physical within our dimension as theirs, and then it's able to slip like a light switch on and off. And that pretty much describes the UFO phenomenon. Now you see it, now you don't.
Well, that's honestly what I've been thinking my whole, like this whole last couple of years since I've been researching it. I started researching the UFO phenomenon because you and I were speaking at the same conference in Wisconsin, and Chase Klutschka is like, have you ever investigated UFOs? And she was the head of MUFON at the time. And so I started looking into it, but I met Mark D'Antonio, who's an incredible individual, and he's along the subscription of what's called KK Gravitons. And how that the UFO phenomenon is really them plugging out of our dimension, going into a fourth dimension, traveling a small distance, but it's a long distance in our dimension, and then they plug back in. And it's a very interesting concept because KK gravitons have just been discovered by CERN. So it's a real thing.
It's a real thing. And one of the things that my late scientific director, Dr. Hynek, had as an astronomer was wrestling with the vast distances between point A and point B, that the very notion of physically traveling, our nearest star system being 4.3 light Alpha Centauri. And Hynek would use, you know, just the comparison where you would take not the width, but the thickness of a single playing card from a deck of cards. And he would say, just imagine if that thickness equaled the distance of the Earth to the Moon. And then he would ask, how many playing cards from the Earth to our nearest star, Alpha Centauri? Nobody would ever come close. And the answer is 19 miles of playing cards. And again, it's beyond comprehension. And yet, if it's something that exists right here, it's something that is, you know, it exists right within our realm of our own existence, and it's able to slip in and out at will. That would account for why we have as many sightings. This Hynek would talk about if we'd have one or two good sightings a year globally, that would smack much better of something off the planet. But the very fact that we have hundreds of thousands of UFO reports from over 150 countries, you know, almost as many countries that are in the UN. And how is that possible? And what makes us so unique? What makes Earthlings so special that you would have this constant barrage of extraterrestrial craft that are visiting us every day, every night? To what end? You know, especially if we're nothing more than tagged animals to them. You know, you consider what would be the predominant theme that would come across monitoring our daily news broadcast, that we're a barbaric, you know, species of, you know, of individuals here on this planet whose primary activity is tribal warfare. And they would land on the White House front lawn? You know, what would our first reaction be? You know, we shoot first and ask questions later.
Well, at the end of the day, that's the way our government is. Look at the AI data centers. We need to have AI data centers to beat China. Well, you know, what would be the thought if there were UFOs and aliens? I really don't, like you, I kind of question the whole narrative. Disclosure, it's really a nothing burger at the end of the day, but we might get a little sample of some of the truth in the narrative.
We're going to get some smoke.
Right.
You just mentioned AI. And as we're approaching the end of the program, I think that's where this is all going. And it's the much greater concern on my part that AI is going to essentially revise and rewrite history as we know it. It's all going to become scripted to someone else's agenda, including the history of UFOs. That everything is going to be explained the way, very conveniently, that there's an answer to everything, and that the government will still remain the end-all, the superior intelligence in all this. And just trust us, ladies and gentlemen, because we're telling you everything we know, even though it's 100% contrived and scripted.
Well, right. And at the end of the day, it's a very interesting thought, because if there were aliens visiting us, they probably wouldn't be the real aliens. They would have been a synthetic biological drone developed to be able to withstand the type of travel to come here and do a job, much like we'd send a drone in anywhere else before sending humans in if it was going to be dangerous. So it's a very interesting subject all around. I know I've heard rumors and read documents saying that, you know, these grays are actually drones and they got chips in them, amongst other things. And I don't know what's true or what's not when I read it. So I kind of push it to the side in the knowledge bank and say, this is information. I don't know what to do with it yet, Donald. It's like the KK gravitons. We now know that mini black holes or micro black holes are real. They can do anti-gravity. CERN has now proved that. It's an interesting subject. You know, what is dark matter? Is it the dark dimension? Where are we going with these things when they travel? Are they punching in and out of our existence and then punching back in? And what is it that our ancients saw when they claimed to have spoken to deities, the jinn or the watchers or whatever it is? Our history has been impacted by things that we cannot explain, Donald. So we got about 5 minutes left here in the program. So any last thoughts on this disclosure and the missing scientists? What are your thoughts on the missing scientists? Do you think that there is some kind of smoke there, that there's something going on, there's a connection between what they're researching? Or could these just be a series of misfortunate events where some are dying and some are just disappearing and not to be found?
Well, I'm more concerned because, as we both know, that on any given day, that law enforcement, even the FBI, is working on disappearances and strange deaths of, you know, dozens, possibly hundreds of people, and it never sees the light of day. So who is now releasing, disclosing this information? Who's trying to draw this connection? It's not the UFO community, and I don't know that it's even the media. And so we always look at, especially when it comes to propaganda, who is spreading the disinformation and to what ends, to whose benefit. And I question, why are they now appearing to be jumping, you know, cartwheels, as though they're going to present the entire enchilada that we're going to receive, you know, albeit, you know, this slow drip effect of information, and that we're going to be very satisfied, and that the President Trump is going to be able to say, well, I see, I was, as far as the disclosure president, I did release everything. But just as it's been discussed as far as with some of the Congress people involved. Why are you only asking for files? Why are you only asking for photographs? Why are you only asking for videos? If I were any one of you, I'd be saying, you got 24 hours, and I want a piece of wreckage on my desk. They're not so bold. They're not doing that. Why not? Is it because they're being warned? Well, you know, we can't scare them off. We got to let them do this incrementally, and we got to let them, you know, do this at their own pace, because if we highball it, if we want, you know, as far as like the art of the deal, that you always go for all you can get, and even if you just get a little, you still have succeeded. And I don't buy that. I don't buy that. Because if you accept that there's been, for example, a crash retrieval program for all these years, again, why aren't you like as in Independence Day? I want to see the evidence. And I'm sorry, files and photographs have never done it. And they're never going to do it today, especially with AI and with CGI and computers. Anything can be faked. But it's the real article. That's the one thing that could blow this open overnight. Why aren't they going there? And again, these are the people that supposedly are the ones that are making demands on our behalf. But you're not going all the way. You're only going halfway. I'm sorry. I'm not impressed.
No, neither am I, because I know somebody who told me that they saw something. And at the end of the day, it makes me wonder about the time dilation experiments allegedly at Area 51, because then it all starts to make sense if that's legitimately what's going on there. But we only have a minute left, Donald. I want you to be able to plug your stuff.
Chris, I'm also quickly saying, and then the idea that they talk about how they're being briefed, and that if they were to disclose what they've seen or what they've heard, first of all, if you were briefed as far as on anything classified, you wouldn't even be able to admit that. The fact that they're even coming out and dangling this carrot that if you know what I know, it's the old, you know, again, the creation of the straw man. You build it up, then you tear it down. And they're playing right along with it.
So, yeah, it keeps everyone's eyes off the Epstein files at the end of the day, right? And everything else. So, Donald, let our listeners know where they can find out more about you. We're out of time here, brother. We'll have to have you back on.
Quickly, of course, Amazon, the books are all available as far as the recently published ones, and then certainly the website, roswell-investigator.com, and then certainly the UFO Museum in Roswell. So we're approaching our 6 million visitor at the museum. So it's become the mecca.
Well, let me know. Maybe I'll show up. Maybe I can be 6 million.
Oh, I'd love to have you, Chris.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you're in Wisconsin. I got to get an interview from you if you're still here.
You bet. I am just outside of Milwaukee. So you bet. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on. Having you on. Donald Schmidt was our guest. Check him out. Kristan T. Harris signing out for Harrison Smith. We'll see you guys soon. Tune in tomorrow. Alex Jones, InfoWars, and the Alex Jones Network.
BOGO Supps, buy one, get one free supplements right now, has been extended. The Memorial Day sale was just that popular. We wanted to give y'all another day to take advantage of the buy one, get one sale on T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture, as well as the Ultra Methylene Blue Tincture. T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture is built to support thyroid health, hormone balance, metabolism, energy, and daily wellness. It's one of the life-changing products. You know, well, really a lot of, really all of our products are life-changing, but iodine and the methylene blue are the two that for years we've had people call in and say, I have no idea how I survived without this. It's changed my life. And the thing is that you might not even know what an effect a lack of iodine is having on your body. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to make medical claims here, but I do know from personal experience and, you know, friends of mine start taking iodine and they're like, it's amazing. I sleep an hour less a night. Like, I just have more energy. I just need an hour less of sleep. Now, again, I don't know what the effect is going to be on you, but you aren't going to know until you try it. Maybe you're going around just thinking that, well, you're just getting older and the brain fog is setting in. It's just a matter of age and nothing you can do about it. Well, have you tried to do something about it? Have you tried to fight back against age and the poisons in our food and water? Because you're not going to know how effective and powerful this stuff is until you try it. You may very well realize that you're not supposed to be. You're not just supposed to be in pain all the time. You're not supposed to just have brain fog all the time. That's a problem that you can solve. and we help you solve it by going to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Join the VIP club. Get massive discounts across the board. T3, trifecta iodine, and ultramethylene blue tincture on sale right now for buy one, get one. Whatever you can do to support us, we absolutely appreciate it. And obviously, the easiest and freest way is to share the link, share the content, upload our stuff, download our stuff, do whatever you want with it. But the most helpful way is, of course, to go to thealexjonesstore.com and make a purchase. Help yourself and help us.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.